Welcome to the Amazing with Grace podcast, a spiritually relevant space for people like you who want to be excellent but not perfect. I am your host, Dr. Q Perry, a board-certified and Christian psychologist based in Dallas, Texas. Although I want this show to be a helpful and inspirational resource for you, it is not meant to substitute for a relationship or treatment with a licensed mental health provider. For more information and additional resources, please visit our website at www.amazingwithgrace.com. Let's get into the show. Hey y'all, thanks so much for tuning in. I hope your new year is off to a great start. Mine is going okay so far. Since this is our first episode, I want to welcome you to the show and orient you to the format. In each episode, we'll cover a specific topic about love, career, parenting, and/or spirituality, and then we'll go into a segment called Dr. Q's Couch. And this is where I will answer listener questions, or I will talk to you about some of the most frequently asked questions that I get. And at the end of every episode, we will end with a segment called Dear God. And this is just where I will say a quick prayer for us about that specific topic. As you listen to the show, take note to how you feel. If you feel inspired, intrigued, challenged, or hear something you like, go ahead and subscribe and also tell a friend so they can be blessed too. Let's get into the show. I'm very excited about today's topic because we will be talking about spiritual thinking traps. You might be wondering, what in the world is a thinking trap? A thinking trap is an irrational pattern in our thoughts that keep us stuck. If you do some research on it, you might also see that they are called cognitive distortions. And this is because they keep us from being able to see the big picture, and we end up drawing conclusions that negatively impact our mood and decisions. So have you ever noticed that you might feel strongly about something or someone, but you just can't put your finger on it? That's probably a thinking trap. Or if you did know what you were feeling and you found it hard to shake the feeling, it's probably rooted in a thinking trap. So I look at it like a loop, because you think something and then those particular thoughts negatively impact your mood and your decisions. And then because you are feeling negatively, it's hard for you to really interpret the entire situation for what it is. I think it's important that we look at these traps, because one of the things that I've noticed that's missing is the spiritual component. I think we live below our potential because of our faulty thinking. The Word of God tells us to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Jesus Christ, but how can we do that if we don't know exactly what those thoughts are? We can't. Today I'm going to cover four thinking traps that I think are especially critical for Christians, because they hinder us from moving forward in our spiritual lives. And then what happens is we blame God and we walk away from our faith because we say it doesn't work. So as I go through these four, I'm going to give you some information on them, and then at the end of each one, I will give you some tips for how you can start to address those. So as I go through, I want you to see if there are ones that stand out to you more than others. But before I start, let me just say this. We all have them. We all have thought these ways in some form or another. But if you notice that there are ones that are perpetual in the way that you think, or if you have received feedback from other people about how you think, then they might be worth taking a listen to and praying to God to reveal to you more about this area in your life. The first one I'll cover is the fallacy of fairness. So this is the idea that life should always be fair. And I mean, in a general sense, we do want things to be equal to a certain extent. But when we start to look around and see other people being blessed, or you think that because you've been saved longer than the other person, or that you are living more of a Christian lifestyle than other people, then you can start to resent that person, and you can start to resent God, because life doesn't seem fair. Remember, God is just, not fair. And we also have to pay attention to the fact that fair is relative to us, but we are not God, who has all the information. An example of fairness would be me giving five people in the room $20 for lunch. So that makes sense. Each person gets $20. That seems fair, right? But what if you saw me give one of them $100? That would really appear as I'm being unfair. But would your thoughts change if I explained to you that the person who got the $100 actually needed more than just lunch for today? They actually needed some groceries in the house and they needed some gas. I think if I were privy to that information, I think my thoughts about fairness would change. You know, there's a story in Matthew chapter 20 where Jesus tells this parable about a man who hired workers for his vineyard. They agreed to a certain wage for the people who started, let's just say at 9 a.m. But at the end of the day, the people who had only worked an hour got the same wage as the people who had been working all day. Now, from the outside looking in, it looks like the landowner is not fair because it appears that he is paying people who haven't worked as long the same amount of wages. But I think in this parable, God is saying it's his business to give blessings and gifts out as he sees fit. So we have to really pay attention to what we consider as fair, because remember, we don't have all the information. We can end up bitter, resentful, angry, and walking in a spirit of comparison, which keeps you from paying attention to your own journey. The tip that I have for managing or attacking this fallacy of fairness is walk in a spirit of gratefulness. And remember that fair is relative. Another thinking trap is the control fallacy. Now, this one is broken down into two categories, internal and external. For the internal control fallacy, this is the idea that you control everything and all the outcomes. You think you're responsible for everything. You're responsible for everyone's happiness, their success, their financial status, their spiritual growth, their health. Now, I know that we do have a certain amount of responsibility in our roles like parenting, leadership, entrepreneurship, and even with our family and friends. But the key difference with the internal control fallacy is that you can start to feel over-responsible, and that's not godly, and it leads to an ungodly level of helping. What happens is you end up standing in the way of God teaching the person what they need to learn. Now, on the flip side of that is the external control fallacy. This is thinking that other people are in control of your destiny and what you do won't make a difference at all. This one is critical because you can end up being under responsible. We sit and we blame other people for what happens to us. We sit and blame God for what you can be doing yourself. If you found yourself saying, this is not fair, that this person won't let me do this or that, nothing I do will make a difference, I just can't win, those are some evidences of this particular thinking trap. One example that I run into all the time is this idea of weight loss. A person might say, you know, I keep praying for God to help me lose the weight, but they're not doing anything. When I ask them, what are you doing on a day-to-day basis to help you lose weight? They tell me that they are praying. Or another example that shows up is a person wants a job promotion, but they are determined that nothing they do on the job will make a difference because the boss has favorites, the boss doesn't like me, and the boss won't pick me anyway. They're not realizing that they have a role in at least doing something to set themselves up for the best possible outcome. It doesn't guarantee a specific outcome just because you put the work in, but we do know that when you don't try, it's 100% proof that you won't succeed. A tip that I have for this one is ask God to help you discern where in your life you are being over or under responsible when it comes to control. The third one is the fallacy of change. Now, I know this one is very, very common. If other people would just change, things would be better for me. And this shows up when we have thoughts like, if God would just change other people, if God would just change my boss, if God would just change my girlfriend, my coworker, my husband, my kids, my mom, the people on the road. The list goes on and on. But you can get caught in focusing all your attention on other people. And the sad part is your decisions and your mood is always at the mercy of someone else. This is a trap because it keeps you in a cycle of reacting to other people and their decisions and their mood instead of you responding. We're quick to say, oh, I can't change people, but yet we get caught in the trap of trying to change people. So if I think, If I nag my spouse enough, they'll change. If I criticize and critique my staff enough, they'll change. It's a trap because it actually doesn't get you what you want. It's the opposite effect. You end up feeling frustrated, and what it does is it pushes other people away from you. A tip that I have is taking a look at a serenity prayer. So you know the serenity prayer says, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Well, I saw a very special variation to the serenity prayer. I was driving along in a new state down a highway, and I exited off and I saw this little small church. And in front of the church, there was a sign that read, God grant me the serenity to accept the people I cannot change, the courage to change the one I can, and the wisdom to know it's me. I'll say that again. God, grant me the serenity to accept the people I cannot change, the courage to change the one I can, and the wisdom to know it's me. I love that so much because it reminds me that my focus should be on changing me and not forcing or nagging or manipulating other people to change. Let that be one of our tips. Help us to focus on ourselves and what we have the power to control. Another tip I have for the fallacy of change is to examine the heart of your thoughts and prayers. Are you always asking God to change other people just for you so that you can be happy? Do you notice that your prayers are only focused on what you think God needs to change in other people? Take back your power by realizing that your happiness is solely dependent on you and not someone else. The last one I'll cover is overgeneralization. This is where we see one situation or detail as permanent. So when we use language like always or never, this is an example of overgeneralization. So if you think that making one mistake means that you're going to be a failure, that is a thinking trap. Sometimes as Christians, we allow the enemy to condemn us by thinking that because you made one mistake or because you sinned, you are the mistake. You start believing that that is your identity and everything that you do in the future will fail. So you take one situation and then you generalize it to the rest of your life. I hear this one come up quite often when it comes to relationships. People say, I had one bad relationship, so I'm just not going to date anymore because all of my relationships will be bad. Another common example I hear is, my first quarter of business was horrible, so maybe I didn't hear from God. So I think I should just close the business because it means I'm a failure. This is a very dangerous thinking trap because you end up in a loop of seeing what you want to see. You do things to confirm what you believe. Going back to the dating example, if I have one bad relationship and I think that every relationship that I get in the future is going to fail, then I probably have some thoughts like, oh, guys don't like me. If I'm somewhere and I see a guy who I'm interested in or maybe attracted to and he doesn't speak to me, then I might draw the faulty conclusion, oh, I knew it. That guy doesn't like me. The thinking traps keep you from being able to see the full picture. In that one example, I may not be considering the fact that my voice is light and maybe he didn't hear me. Maybe he has ear pods in and he wasn't able to hear me. Maybe there's something else on his mind and he wasn't paying attention. So my tip for overgeneralization is take God out of the box. You want to challenge your thoughts by finding exceptions to your always or never. So now we're up to the segment where I will be answering specific questions as it relates to thinking traps. One of the main questions that I get when I talk to people about thinking traps is, what if I identify that I have more than one thinking trap that I need to work on? Listen, not a big deal, not a big deal. Again, we all have thought this way. We all still do think this way. One of the things that I would encourage you to do is to identify every single one that you have and then go back through your list and prioritize them by most impactful on your mood and most impactful on your interpersonal relationships. Another question that I get is, now that I have identified them, how do I stop thinking this way? One, once you identify what those thinking traps are, it's much easier for you to be able to start to recognize them. So awareness brings about a lot of power to start to be able to change those things. Once you identify them, let's say, for example, the one that I identify is the internal control fallacy. If I know that that's one that I struggle with, whenever I'm in a situation and that one is coming up, I can try my best to step back and view the situation objectively. I would also encourage you not to try to challenge these thoughts by yourself. And the reason why is because our thoughts and our emotions are very, very strong and they are very compelling. What happens is we might actually end up in another thinking trap of emotional reasoning. And that is, just because you feel something or it feels a certain way doesn't mean that it is a certain way. The best thing to do is to not try to combat this alone. So if you have to get an accountability partner, a coach, or a therapist, go ahead and do that. And lastly, use God's word to challenge those thinking traps. As we go into our Dear God segment, I thought this was a very special segment to add to the show because I get so many people who tell me that they don't know how to pray. They're not sure if they're praying the right way. And prayer is just a conversation. It's a conversation between you and God. It doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be short. It can be whatever God lays on your heart. One thing that has helped me throughout my life that I'm very, very thankful for is journaling my prayers, because it allows me to keep a chronology of the things that I am grateful for, the prayer requests that I have, and then when I go back and look, I'm able to see where God has helped me and answered so many prayers, or not answered so many prayers, and for that I've been grateful. Let us take some time to pray before we end this segment. Father God, thank you just for another day in your presence. Help us to begin to notice the ungodly thoughts that keep us trapped. Help us to take them captive by challenging them with your word. Let us renew our minds by thinking on whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is just, or whatsoever is of good report. Let the meditations of our hearts and minds be acceptable to you. Amen. Well, that is it for today's show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Again, I ask that you would subscribe to the show. And if there's anybody else that you know who would be blessed, please pass along this show and encourage them to take a listen and subscribe as well. If you are interested in starting a prayer journal, I have a free download on the website. If you would go to amazingwithgrace.com, and you will be able to download that free printable journal page. All right, until next time, be blessed.